So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 25, text 2. Okay. And this is just prose again. So I'll read that, and we'll go on to the word-by-word synonyms afterwards. Ayasidam chittimandalam bhagavato nantamurte sahasra shirasa ikasmen neva shirshani Driyamanam Siddhartha Hiva Lakshate. So, word by word, synonyms. Yasya, of whom? Idam, this. Kshittimandalam, universe. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anantamurtahe, in the form of Anantadeva. Sahasra Shirasaha, who has thousands of hoods. Ekasmin, on one. Eva, only. Shirshani, hood. Driyamanam, is being sustained. Siddhartha Eva, and like a white mustard seed. Lakshate, is seen. So, translation, Shukadev Goswami continued, this great universe situated on one of Lord Anantadeva's thousands of hoods appears just like a white mustard seed. It is infinitesimal, that means very small, compared to the hood of Lord Ananta. So no purport, so we'll read the next text with its translation and purport. So yashaha vahidam kaleno pasanam jihirshato marsha virachita ruchira brahma dhruvar anantadena sankarshano namarudra ekadasa vyuhas triyakshas trishikam shulam utambayan udatishtat. So, translation. At the time of devastation, when Lord Anantadev desires to destroy the entire creation, he becomes slightly angry. Then, from between his two eyebrows, appears three-eyed Rudra carrying a trident. This Rudra, who is known as Sankarshan, is the embodiment of the 11 Rudras, or incarnations of Lord Shiva. He appears in order to devastate the entire creation. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In each creation, the living entities are given a chance to close their business as conditioned souls. When they misuse this opportunity and do not go back home, back to Godhead, Lord Sankarshan becomes angry. The 11 Rudras, expansions of Lord Shiva, come out of Lord Sankarshan's eyebrows due to his angry mood, and all of them together devastate the entire creation. Wow. So, Om Gada Timidanda Shah Gadanjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, these devastations are part of the normal course of action in this material creation, as stated in the Gita, Bhutva, Bhutva, Praliyate. Again and again, this material creation comes into existence, and again, it's destroyed. And as Srila Prabhupada said, very interesting one time, what the whole show is only temporary. and as the great Acharya William Shakespeare stated, life's a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more. In other words, you have a show, you put on a show, you know, here I am in Slovenia, they close the curtains, everybody bows at the end, like you have a theatrical performance, and that's it, the show comes to an end. So, that's the temporary nature. And of course, the Bhagavad Gita tells us what? Nasato vijate bhavo, nabhavo vijate sataho, ubiyorapi drishtavantvas tvanyos tatvadarshavi. This is a very important verse in the Gita. And this verse states that the great sages think of the temporary things as unreal. And those things which continue to exist, they're real. Of course, it doesn't mean that this chair doesn't exist in one sense, but it doesn't have any, like, substantial eternal existence, because one day this chair will disintegrate and become just pieces of wood, and those pieces of wood will become, like, whatever, disintegrating the constituent elements after some time, and after some time they either burn up or whatever. Anyway, so whatever it is, it's temporary. Everything is temporary. As the Beatles would say, nothing is real, strawberry fields forever. Anyone's heard that song? Hey, wait a second. We don't need sound effects. Oh, anyways. So, I mean, they really had an idea of it. Of course, they had the wrong idea. So, what we do is we use these temporary things in Krishna's service, but the eternal things are our relationship with Krishna, our relationship with the devotees. Like Prabhupada said, we have an ISKCON in the spiritual world, a relationship with the spiritual master. I mean, these are all eternal things. These are important things in life. Everything else comes and goes. Our family, you know, what the Bhagavatam describes as Atnashaneshwar Shatpapi, which means fallible soldiers. We have all these fallible soldiers, like our family, our body. All these things are soldiers that will die after some time. So anyway, so we concentrate on the eternal, and we use the temporary to serve the eternal. And we keep in mind about not only this devastation, but the Bhagavatam describes, here of course you're describing two types of devastations that are indirectly mentioned here. One is the material devastation, and the other one is the occasional devastation. There's actually four types of devastations that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Two of the types, you know, Lord Anantadev and, you know, Sankarshan and the 11 Rudras really take part in. And that's material devastation, means the whole material at the end of Brahma's lifetime. You know, he has 100 years, what is that? Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of his day. 1,000 Divya Yugas. And 1,000 Divya Yugas is the duration of his night. And he has 365 days a year. And I guess he has a leap year or two. I don't know about that. Leap year, it means they add an extra day. Or in the Vedic calendar, they have a leap month. What's the name of that month? Anyone know? Purushottam. It comes this year, actually. Purushottam. So, anyway, so whatever it is, it's many days. And then he has 100 years. And then after 100 years, he dies. So, that's a material thing. And then at that time, all the material universes are absorbed within the body of the Mahavishnu. And then we also get absorbed in the body of the Mahavishnu, and we can just go to sleep for a long time, enjoy resting, after we work so hard for Krishna for so many lifetimes. So, and then at the time of the creation, of course, you have Mahavishnu breathes out, the universes come out, and then he looks at the universes, and he impregnates, he puts us into the universe, Saikshita, through his glands. Because Mahavishnu, this Krishna, Angani, Yasha, Shakalandri, Adri, Timanti, he can do anything with any of his senses, so he's able to impregnate. And that impregnation is also an incarnation of Lord Shiva. which is very interesting. Anyway, because Lord Shiva consorts with Maya, Lord Vishnu never touches Maya. He's completely aloof from Maya. Even though he appears to be in the heart, he is in the heart, manifesting his presence, but it's like the reflection of the sun or the moon on a body of water. Anyway, and Shambhu is the progenitor. That's Lord Vishnu's glance is called Shambhu. That's the name of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has many different names. Of course, the original name, Shiva, means auspicious. It's actually a name of Vishnu, too. So anyway, that's the material devastation. Then there's the occasional devastation that occurs in this universe. Occasional means, like, sometimes when there's a change of Manus, sometimes Lord Brahma takes a little nap in the middle of his day, everything falls apart. Can you imagine that? Every time you take a nap, let's say if you were the temple president here, and you just decide to take a nap because you're tired. Then all the devotees leave the temple while you're taking a nap. That would, you really wouldn't want to sleep at that particular point. So that's what happens with Lord Brahma. He gets a little tired, you know. He works pretty hard, you know. He's a manager. Managers are entitled to vacations from time to time. And anyway, so there's a partial devastation. At that time, and also at the end of his day, when he goes to sleep, there's a partial devastation, and the higher entities go up to his planet to take shelter. And so these are occasional devastations. Actually, the whole material world is a devastation. And then there's another type of devastation, which is actually more applicable to us, because the end of Lord Brahma's day is a long time from now. We're right in the middle of his day. Another type of devastation, which is more applicable, is the constant devastation. Constant means, basically, the scientific word for it is entropy. Entropy means that things have a tendency to fall apart, like the body has a tendency to fall apart. You know, about a month ago, I was eating, and I was eating some prasadam, and obviously, that's what I do eat. So I was eating his prasadam, and I said, I felt something hard, you know, I was chewing on it. And I said, what's happening? Someone must have put a seed here or anything like that. So I spit it out, and I discovered it was a piece of a tooth. And because I'm too old, I can't put the tooth under my pillow. You have that here, too? The children take when the teeth, do you have that? And the tooth fairy comes and they bring him some money the next morning or chocolate. Tooth mouse. You call it the tooth mouse. I'd rather have a fairy than a mouse. What? Yeah, it was my tooth. That's an interesting question. If it was someone else's tooth, I would have gotten really angry. With the cook, and said, you know, whoever's cooking here, that, forget who was cooking. Actually, I was cooking. So, I was, what the heck are you putting your tooth in my food for? You're trying to bewitch me or something? Anyway, that's the constant devastation. You know, things happen when you get older. And even when you're younger, you know, sometimes the ladies, for example, they look at their hair and there's a gray hair there. And they just have a nervous breakdown. Isn't it? And the men, too. We've seen, actually, in Fiji, the men, they get really freaked out when their hair starts turning gray. And they turn it red. You've seen that? And you're in Fiji. You know, I said, red hair? You know, this is crazy. Who ever saw an Indian with red hair? You know, these people from Indian background. So that's the constant devastation. You know, things fall apart. Your computer falls apart. Your iPhone falls apart. Your body falls apart. Your car falls apart. That's called entropy. And that's actually, the principle of entropy is interesting because understanding that principle proves that there's something beyond matter, that life doesn't come from matter. Because matter by itself tends to fall apart. Whereas when you inject some energy or conscious plan, then matter can actually form something more complex. But the principle of entropy, which is one of the first principles I studied when I was in the university. So that's constant devastation. You know, every day you're reminded when things fall apart, your relationships fall apart, everything. It's just, it's horrible, isn't it? Well, it's nice, because it reminds you that your real position is with Krishna. So actually all these things are Krishna's mercy. Like the word Maya means illusion, but it also means mercy. It means energy too. But so it means mercy. It's the mercy of the Lord that everything's falling apart. Wow, now time to take shelter of Krishna. You know, just like when that happened with my tooth. I wasn't thinking, oh my God, now I have to go to the dentist. I don't like dentists. But anyway, I was thinking, I got to take spiritual life much more seriously. I've been wasting so much time. You know, actually we waste so much time during the day, don't we? We do so many things. We talk prajalpa. We go on the internet. Just like devotees, you know, it's just like they go on the internet. And very rarely will I look at anyone's Facebook page other than my own. Because I like to see about myself. But, no, not really. And, you know, somehow or other someone else's stuff. And I'm just thinking, the devotees putting all these comments and fighting and doing all these things. Don't they understand the human life? Durlabham manasa janma tadav dhruva marthadam. It's very rare. And the only thing you can't buy with money, basically, is time. Almost anything else you can buy. You can't buy devotion with money either. But, you know, basically, anything else material you can buy with money. You know, within reason. Obviously, you buy a new car, you buy a new phone, you love. Friendship you can buy with money. Yeah, you'd be surprised if you become rich how many friends you have. And if you're poor, how many people don't like you. So, I mean, practically, but the Prabhupada said, even for millions of dollars, I was listening to that, and the Prabhupada said, you can't buy back one moment. If it goes away, that's it. Finished. So all the time you spent, you know, on the internet, looking at all your friends' posts, and sending your tweets out, and talking about politics, and whatever, you know, doing nonsense and going to see Star Wars. So all the time you spent, it's gone. You can't get it back for millions of dollars. So that's the benefit of the constant devastation. And then the fourth type of devastation is called the final devastation. Final annihilation, actually, is the word used in Bhagavatam. And that's liberation. That's the one we should be interested in. So, and that is that we can get by being Krishna conscious. You can't get it any other way. If you try to get liberation any other way, Ruya Kachena Param Padam, then again you fall down again. It's just liberation in the mind. You know, you just think you're liberated. Like a Mayavadi liberation. So-called liberation. So anyway, so those are the four types of devastation. And Lord Rudra, I guess he has some part to play in all these types of devastations. And so there's 11 Rudras. We find other stories about the 11 Rudras in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one other manifestation of those 11 Rudras was when Lord Brahma asked the four Kumaras to get married. You know, they're 5-year-old kids. In those days, they arranged marriages when people were really small. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, how old was he when he got married? I think 8 years old or something like that in his biography. Yeah. And not that they lived together, you know, 8-year-old boy and 5-year-old girl. You know, but, you know, it was arranged. So Lord Brahma, thinking of his service, wanted to create more progeny. So he had Prajapatis. Prajapatis means, you know, the fathers who create Praja, So he, at one point, he created the four Kumaras, the famous sages, actually Brahma bodies at that time. And he told them, look boys, I want to arrange for your marriage. In Indian families, it's like that. They actually force the kids to get married. I have several disciples in India, but one of them is not married. And his parents are coming to me, parents and sister, are coming to me constantly and crying, you got to arrange a marriage. Is anybody interested? So, but you have to get ready to live in Delhi for the rest of your life. So I don't think it would work with most of you. So anyway, so he was, Lord Brahma was arranging, wanted to arrange marriages, and they said, no, Dad. And anyone knows about Indian culture, if you say no to your parents, there's fire. Because I have a lot of disciples and people from Indian culture, and I ask them, what was your relationship with your father? And they said, fear. It wasn't my relationship with my father. So, and actually there's so much parental pressure that I have some disciples and they join the Hare Krishna movement, but they can't tell their parents about it. Anyway, so we have to have secret initiations. Secret, and turn off the web cameras and everything, so God forbid their parents should see that they got initiated. So anyway, Lord Brahma gets angry, and then out of his forehead comes the Rudras, the 11 Rudras that we just mentioned before. And these 11 Rudras, they do what Rudras are supposed to do. They start destroying things. Because the Rudra principle is the principle of anger. Anger is very destructive. It can be used in Krishna's service, like the Rudras are using it in Krishna's service. It's not necessarily bad. Prabhupada would sometimes exhibit anger. I was listening to a memory this morning about Prabhupada, and one devotee actually got Prabhupada got angry at him, and he was just like shivering and everything like that. And the devotees later on asked Prabhupada, "What should we do if the spiritual master gets angry, really angry, like fire at you?" And Prabhupada said, "Be happy." And the devotee said, "Well, why?" He said, "Because that means he loves you. You have special mercy." Like, when Lord Nityananda kicked Sivananda Sain, that story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Sivananda Sain hadn't arranged for his prasadam, or place to stay. Sivananda Sain was paying taxes at that point. So then Sivananda, and Lord Nityananda also cursed Sivananda Sain's children to die. Interesting. And Sivananda Sain just took it as Lord Nityananda's mercy. He was very happy to get kicked. And that's the point. You get kicked by the spiritual master. Well, of course, don't do something to make him angry just so you get his love. So why did you do that, you fool? Because I want to see a loving exchange, Guru Maharaj. So anyway, so the 11 Rudras come out. They threaten to destroy everything. So Lord Brahma is naturally thinking, they have a problem with anger. So get them some nice wives. That will take care of the anger. Sometimes, like if you see a brahmachari is angry all the time, then you just say, maybe he needs to be married. So, that's not a solution, actually. Because then you have two people angry with each other. So, that's not the solution to anger. So Lord Brahma, he provides 11 Rudranis. That means 11 angry ladies. Literally. Of course, when you add an S to a word in Sanskrit to make it plural, you're using an English method of making something plural. It's interesting, isn't it? So it's combined. You know, it's like you're actually combining English with Sanskrit. So, whatever. There's different ways in Sanskrit to make things plural. So, 11 Rudrani. So he gets that. He gets them married. Thinks everything will be all right. And they start to have a lot of kids. You know, they're angry and also they're romantic. So they, anyway, this is a Bhagavatam story. I'm not making this up. It's not a sannyasi agitated story. So they have all these kids, and the kids are very angry too. So not only does he have a problem with the 11 Rudras, now he has a problem with all the 11 Rudras and Rudrani's kids who are threatening to destroy the whole universe. And then Lord Brahma says, it's not time. Because there is a time for such a thing, to be destructive. Actually, there was something to do with that story. But there are companies that advertise, you can pay a certain amount of money and come to them and destroy things. Did you know that? You mean, isn't it? Because they have old computers there and old things, so they give you a hammer and you pay the money and you can just like work out your frustration and anger. Can you what? A Ferrari? I don't know. I don't know, but there's computers. Generally, computers and electronic stuff, so you pay money. Imagine, in modern society, people are so angry they have to pay money to destroy things. So Lord Brahma naturally said, all right, this is not going to work. There's a time for it, not the time. Therefore, you should engage in penance. And then he gave the Rudras places to live, which is interesting. You know, he said that you can live in the heart, in the senses, in the life air, in the sky, the air, the fire, water, earth, the moon, and austerity. So it sounds like everywhere, doesn't it? And I was wondering when I heard that. So actually, I looked up this morning what the Bhagavatam means by that. And there's a purport by Prabhupada that explains it. And I wanted to read that purport. It's interesting. It says, verse, it's the third canto, 12th chapter, text 11. In case any of you want to look it up later on, you have problems with anger. My dear boy, I have selected for the following places for your residence: the heart, the senses, the air of life, the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, the sun, the moon, and austerity. That I already mentioned. And this is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The creation of Rudra from between the eyebrows of Brahma as a result of his anger generated from the mode of passion partly touched by ignorance is very significant. In the Bhagavad Gita, the third chapter, text 37, the principle of Rudra is described, Krodha, that's another word for anger, is the product of, does anyone know? This is a test. Yeah, exactly. Jayato Vishayak Pumsam Sangostesha Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Krodha Pajayate, right? That from contemplating sense objects, then what happens? Attachment develops. And from attachment comes lust. And from lust comes anger. Krodha Bhavati Samaha Samaha Pratibhim Brahma. Anyway, then one loses his mind, his intelligence falls down in the material whirlpool. Very important verse in Gita. So, the first point is to avoid contemplating sense objects. Anything you know that might be a potential sense object. We all have our own sense objects. For me, it's computers. So I don't contemplate computers. Because then you start to think, I must have, I must have, I must have. So, you just start chanting Hare Krishna. Whenever the concept of a sense object comes to mind, you just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I remember in the early days of the movement, whenever the brahmacharis would walk by the ladies, they'd go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Anyway, it's funny. So, but anyway, whenever there's a potential of being attracted to something in this material world that deviates us from Krishna consciousness, then we chant the holy names. It's not that if you think negatively about something, you're thinking more about it. Like Prabhupada told the story about the brahmanas or the sannyasis who were crossing a river, and one carried an old lady across the river, the other was thinking about the whole thing for the next 20 miles, 20 kilometers. And one sannyasi said to the other that, you know, I just carried across the river, but you've been carrying her for 20 kilometers. So the point is not to contemplate. So let's get back to this. So if you want to avoid anger, at least inappropriate anger, don't contemplate sense objects. It's the product of lust, which is the result of passion. When lust and hankering are unsatisfied, the element of krodha appears, which is the formidable enemy of the conditioned soul, lust, anger, greed. This most sinful and inimical passion is represented as ahankar, or the false egocentric attitude of thinking oneself the all in all. Wow. In other words, you're the important thing. Such an egocentric attitude on the part of the conditioned soul who is completely under the control of the material nature is described in Bhagavad Gita as foolish. Mudha. And here Prabhupada begins to explain how the Rudra principle is present in these different elements. The egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle. That means egocentric. So let's describe what ego is. Ego is the self. Sometimes the Mayavadis and personalists and people in the West who don't understand a damn thing say you have to get rid of ego to be spiritual, right? You ever heard that expression before? We say you don't get rid of the ego. You get rid of the false ego. And you're not the center. So the ego, I'll read that again. This is a very important sentence that Srila Prabhupada gives here. The egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle. In other words, a manifestation of the anger principle. Self-centeredness. You understand? Self-centeredness is a manifestation of anger. Wherein krodha... wait a second. I love something else. It's the Rudra principle in the heart. Same sentence. Wherein krodha, anger is generated. So anger is first generated in the heart. This anger develops in the heart and is further manifested through the various senses. You know, there's the perceptive senses, talking about Sankhya, and the active senses. So that you can actually see in someone's face, you know, the eyes turn red. It's interesting, when Lord Balaram gets angry, his eyes turn red too. Anyway, but that's not Maya. That is spiritual. The eyes turn red, you grimace like that, and it's just, you become ugly. So it's... Isn't it? And where krodha is generated in the heart, anger develops in the heart and further manifests through the various senses, like the eyes, hands, and legs. Like you see someone, shaking like that? Anyway, when a man is angry, he expresses such anger, perhaps says the same thing I just said, with red-hot eyes. And sometimes shake makes a display of clenching his fists or kicking his legs. There's that story. There's another story. I mean, I just keep remembering different stories that Prabhupada told. There was a man who was making a plan to become rich. And he was a potter. You know, he made pots. And so he thought, I'll make one pot, sell it, make the money, get two pots, then four pots, then eight pots, 16 pots, I'll make enough money, and then I'll be rich, and then I'll get married. You know, he's saying all these things, making plans in his mind. And then he thought, then I'll get married, now my wife, and if she doesn't listen to me, guess what? I'll kick her. And with that kick, he kicked over the first pot, which was his initial investment, and lost everything. So that was a story Prabhupada told about kicking his leg. It's a Prabhupada story. The exhibition of Rudra principle is the proof of Rudra's presence at such places. When a man is angry, and here's the life air, he breathes very rapidly. like that. And thus Rudra is representing the air of life, or the activities of breathing. When the sky is overcast with dense clouds and roars in anger, and when the wind blows very fiercely, the Rudra principle is also manifested, like, you know, cyclones, hurricanes, things like that. And so when the seawater is infuriated by the wind, it appears in a gloomy feature of Rudra, which is very fearful to the common man. When fire is ablaze, we can also experience the presence of Rudra, and when there's an inundation over the earth, we can understand this is also the representation of Rudra. So these are all the Rudra principles, which Prabhupada very nicely explains here in this purport in the third canto. You know, if you want to read it, you can read it later. And so what does that mean for us? We have to be aware of it, of this Rudra principle, because it's not usually useful in Krishna consciousness. The only time we should exhibit this Rudra principle is when Satya Priyahitam, that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, when, as the austerities of speech, actually, he mentions when we can be, do something that's useful, hitam, that means beneficial, priya, pleasing, ultimately pleasing, and truthful. Such a prihitam. Otherwise, Rudra should be kept at bay. We should be controlling, you know, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam. We have to control these eight things and tolerate them when they appear. So what do we do if Rudra starts to appear in our hearts? I mean, if we start to get angry? Well, usually, take a time out. Go for a walk, chant some Hare Krishna mantras, come back. I mean, just like it was described by one great writer, I forget who it was, before there was the internet. He said, whenever I write an angry letter, you know, I put it in my drawer and I take it out the next day and rip it up. So that was before the internet. Now, whenever we write an angry letter, we push the send button and feel, got him. And then later on, we got to deal with the repercussions of that whole issue. So anger will naturally arise in our hearts from time to time due to frustration or some improper reason. And we should give ourselves time to think about it, you know, what that anger represents, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate before we actually express it. And that will help us deal with this Rudra principle. So, and I think we spoke enough. So any questions or comments about the Rudra principle or anger? Yes.
In the situation if this anger arises, because we actually, in our devotional service, we make the result of our devotional service the of sense objects.
Yeah.
So that we want to enjoy them.
Yes, that happens.
In our devotional service.
Mixed devotional service, yeah.
So how do we deal with this on a deeper level that we can...
Well, that's what I said. We have to take a time out and be introspective. Why am I angry? Is it appropriate? I mean, sometimes it is appropriate. You know, sometimes it's very appropriate to be angry. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story about Fiji. That when I first went there, you know, previously, Tamal Krishnamaraj had been the GBC. And he was known as, you know, through his spiritual anger, he was chastising people. And the devotees would even sometimes give him a nickname, Hot Tamale. You know, like a hot tamale is a Mexican dish, you know, with a lot of chili peppers and everything like that. So when I first got there, the devotees were expecting that of me, too. And, you know, everybody has a different nature. And then I wasn't like that, and then devotees, what's wrong with you? And then, and one day I gave a class, you know, real angry class, you know, chastising the devotees, and the devotees said, "That was so nice. Wow, you should do that all the time." And I said, "If I do that all the time, I'll have a heart attack and die prematurely." So, I mean, anger can be used. I mean, and it was very useful for training up the devotees originally there in Fiji. That's what they were accustomed to because their childhood, I'll explain why. Their childhood, that's how they were controlled by their parents. So they didn't understand so well, you know, the logic and reasoning. Now they're getting to, you know. It's a little bit different now, I think. Rishesri knows she was there. So we have to think of whether it was appropriate, useful. Satya Prihitam is what I think of. Is it the truth? Is it what we're saying actually the truth? Is it ultimately going to be pleasing or beneficial is the main thing. I think of this term beneficial, hitam, in terms of whenever I give an instruction or say anything, is it going to help the person or is it going to agitate the person or drive them further away from Krishna? So you think about that, and then it requires introspection. Where did my anger come from? And if it's inappropriate, sometimes you got to apologize if you expressed it. You know, I'm sorry for kicking you, my dear devotee. Anyway, it requires introspection. Yeah, because we definitely are mixed in our devotion until we come to the platform of pure devotional service. Everybody's mixed. If you're not a pure devotee, it's mixed. That's a definition. Either you're pure or mixed. And of course, Krishna says in the Gita, people come to Krishna consciousness for mixed motives. You know, whether they want wealth, whether they're inquisitive, whether they're looking for knowledge, or they're in distress. So, we do have to be careful. You know, I know sometimes, you know, people take up a position of guru or temple president, they chastise and they say, my anger is spiritual. You know, it's not necessarily spiritual. That's pride, that's false ego, that's self-centeredness. They think you're so advanced in devotional service that your anger is spiritual. In most cases, it's not. It's narcissism, yeah. Because you think you're more advanced than you are. That's a problem with all, you know, in me at least. I don't want to criticize anyone else. You think you're on a high platform of devotional service just because you have a high position, you know, guru or something like that. Or a mentor. I'm the mentor. And you're the mentee. You know, it's really hierarchical. That, you know, people, we like to lord it over other people. And, you know, if we want to find faults, like Bhakti said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I am finding faults in others because I myself am pockmarked with those same faults. There's some sort of saying, we want to remove the mote in someone else's eye because we have a log in our own eye. So we have to be careful, understand our own position. You know, actually, it's interesting, another funny story about Prabhupada, from Prabhupada Memories. So Prabhupada said you should wear around your neck all the time this verse, Trinadapi Suniche Natarar Ivasahishna Mani Namani Tena Kirtini Asidahari. You should wear that around your neck. Some devotees heard that, some ladies heard that, and they were in India, and they took needles, ordinary needles, and tattooed around their necks. Which is not exactly what Prabhupada meant. And the next morning they came to see Prabhupada, their necks were all swollen, you know, probably infected. Because if you want to put a tattoo on, which I don't agree with, but anyway, you go to a place where they know how to do it. I mean, they use ink, regular ink, from pens. You know, they're really intelligent. So they said, Prabhupada's instruction. We got to wear it around our necks. That's called blind following, right? You know what? Prabhupada meant it not literally. You know, you have to think of it all the time. So, anyway. So, actually, when you become a leader in the Krishna conscious movement, you have to cultivate this humility that you're actually a servant of everyone else. Like my godbrother Bhakti Tirthamaraj would continually emphasize servant leader. You know, that was the term he continually used, as in servant leader, servant leader. Even in the material world, they talk about that now, too, servant leader. That the leader is a servant of everyone else. So not that you're so advanced that your chastisement is the anger of Krishna manifesting through your mouth. Krishna is speaking through you. Whatever I said is Krishna, you should take it like that. The danger. So be careful. Especially as you get more time in the movement, become an older devotee, then you tend to think that everything you do is spiritual. Like, you know, went to see Star Wars, that was spiritual. It's like last night we were talking about Star Wars, isn't it? Connecting with Krishna consciousness. Oh, isn't it so nice? Now I have a justification for going to the movies. So, any other questions or comments or problems or issues? Yes.
When you were just talking about the instructions, it's also one month at the end.
Yeah, that falls under the occasional. Yeah, the manvantara. Occasionally there's the change in the manvantaras. Just like you have what Satyavrata, King Satyavrata, and the whole Matsya Avatar story, which later on in the Bible became Noah. You know the story of Noah and the ark, and he put all the animals in the ark. Sometimes I wonder, why did they eat each other? Or what did he do with all the... Anyway, the manure of all the animals. I keep, think about all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Being in the ark so long. But anyway, there was, and so the Matsya Avatar, there was the devastation, and there was water everywhere, and everybody got killed. So that's called an occasional devastation. Bhagavatam talks about the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Goes into detail about the devastations, what happens. The fire comes out of the mouths, and Lord Shiva does his Tandava Nritya. It's called. Nritya means dancing. Just like we have this verse we chant every morning. Actually, it's interesting, the devotees mispronounce it all the time. Mahaprabho Kirtana Nritya Gita. They usually pronounce it Mahaprabho Kirtana Nritya Gita. Right? But it's actually Nritya Gita. Is everyone... Nritya, like dancing. It's not Nritya Gita. It's Nritya Gita. But practically everyone, when they chant it, Mahaprabho Kirtana Nritya Gita, which is all right too. Nritya Gita means always chanting, but actually the verse is Nritya Gita. Nritya means dancing. Dancing and chanting. Nritya Gita means dancing and chanting. So Tandava Nritya means they dance at the time of the devastation. That's Lord Shiva. He does this, I can't do it. I don't know Bharat Natyam. But anyway, it's really an interesting dance. But you don't want to be around when he's doing the dance, because the fire is coming out and everything's burning to hell. Not to hell, but everything's burning. Everything's burning, and that's the material devastation. But you're right. There's an occasional devastation. It's not only Lord Brahma's day or Lord Brahma's night. Lord Brahma's night. But actually sometimes the change of the manvantaras. Or sometimes when Lord Brahma yawns or takes a little nap. There's an occasional devastation like that. The four types described in the Bhagavatam. So any other questions about anger, devastation? No? Yes?
What about getting angry with people who blaspheme the Shastra?
That's okay, that's good. But it depends on how you express it.
Yeah.
It's not that you should go and cut their tongues out or anything. Yeah, not to. Vedic literature, there's some injunctions that if someone blasphemes, you're supposed to defeat them or cut their tongues out. But we don't suggest cutting people's tongues out.
If you cut their tongue with logic.
Yeah, if you can defeat them. But if you can't defeat them, then you just go away. Because if you stay in the place, then you have to suffer the reaction for them.
But is time linear or cyclic?
Time is cyclic. Cycle goes in cycles. Just like winter, spring, summer, fall.
So the scientists, they think that time is linear.
Not all the scientists. I don't know if it's the majority, but some scientists do, sometimes talk about circular, you know, how the universe curves back upon itself, and, you know, time curves back, the time-space continuum. I mean, especially nowadays, they're beginning to understand that time is circular. It's circular, you know, things keep repeating. I mean, that's the nature of this world. You know, that there's, that things happen in a, not in a linear fashion, but in a circular fashion. And that's reincarnation. Whenever there is birth, death is certain, as Krishna says in the Gita. Whenever there is death, birth is certain. So don't lament. You're going to die, and you're going to be born. You'll be, as the Christians say, you're going to be born again. All right. It's time. It's 9 o'clock. The bell has rung. So, all glories to His divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.